Good morning. How's everybody doing? It is great to have you for Spirit Day. And in a few minutes, we're going to have all the kids are going to come over and join us. So we'll be all together as one family. And really what Spirit Day is about is just coming back together after the summer and being all spread out and being one together. So we're going to do that. I'm going to introduce you to some new ministers. And we've got a fun competition we're going to do together. And then we're going to have brunch together. Now, in great Skyline fashion, we have the ability to adapt to almost anything. And so it was going to be outside, but the weather is not cooperating. And so it's going to be inside, and we'll be able to do that together as well. Beforehand, I just want to introduce you really to the series, What's Next. I want to introduce you to, okay, where's our church headed, and how are you a part of what is next? And so we have before us an incredible opportunity. Opportunities are almost always created because there's a problem that has to be solved. There's something that has happened, and there's a problem that has to be solved. How are we going to solve this problem? Let me describe the problem for you. All over the world, when COVID hit, churches were devastated. Churches were devastated because the way we handled COVID really said to people, listen, there are important things in the world, essential things, and there are things that are not important in this world, and church is one of those unimportant things. Now, don't get into the morality of it, get into the reality of it. And so what happened was, this is what happened to Skyline. What happened to Skyline was the very first thing that happened was no one came to church. I came to church by myself. And I talked to this camera. And then as time went on, a group of people came back. But guess what? When we came back, it wasn't the same. People we knew were gone. It wasn't the same. Then something exciting happened. A whole new group of people came. And a lot of you are a part of that new group. You've come to Skyline since COVID. And you came thinking, oh, Skyline is this church of people, and I'm on the outside looking in. You didn't know that the people who had already come, they're trying to figure out who Skyline is too. And then there's a third group of people. That's a group of people that left or stayed away for a fairly long, a little bit longer period of time. And this set in. I've talked to many people. This set in. It's not true. But they come to believe, listen, I was away longer than the other ones, so maybe they don't think I'm really part of Skyline anymore. Or maybe they look at me differently than before. And so our problem is our opportunity. We have the opportunity to not try to be what Skyline used to be. We have the opportunity to go, wait a minute, what are we going to do next? What are we going to do now? And so we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and there's this passage that I want to start with and talk to you about. And at the beginning of Ephesians, he lays out the gospel, and he lays out what Christ has done. He says, because that's true, then this is how we should live as a church. And he says this, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, the bond of peace is what we're all after. It's what we all want. It's what every one of you want. It's what I want. It's to be in a group of people where we are in this together. We're safe together. It's that gang of people that you can go and you can walk in and you're just, you belong there. It's, you can sit with those people. You don't even have to talk. And you feel like this was great. It's great to be together. We have peace with each other. He says, Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this is important. We do not make the unity. We preserve it. We don't make ourselves one. We don't make us into that amazing family that gets to enjoy knowing I belong to you and you belong to me. Jesus does that. What we do is we preserve it. And he says, there is one faith, one baptism. So how does this work? Well, let me tell you how it works and where we're headed. You see, Skyline is a church family which was built on love and grace. Those are two dominant ideas for us. When we started Skyline, we want to have a church family that's built on love and grace. And we came up with a vision. We think this vision is from God. We dream of a place where we treat one another like God treats us. We dream of a place where we treat one another like God treats us. See, this is the one faith and one baptism. What makes us one? People all over the world say, listen, why can't we just be unified? And then they go about trying to make you be unified. And before long, you're like, wait a minute. I have to fit in this box. I can't say this. I have to think this. I have to act like them. It's not, and it doesn't create unity. It creates disunity. How does God create oneness? How do we experience oneness? In its simplest form, there's two major truths that make us one. Number one, we have no righteousness of our own. We have no righteousness of our own. You know what that does? That makes us all equal. When we stand before God, our righteousness is filthy rags. You don't look at me and be able to go, wow, that guy's better than me. Not possible. I have zero righteousness. And I don't look at you and go, you're better than me. I know you're not. You have zero righteousness. We are equal. We're one. We have this one thing in common, and it's core to who we are. Here's the second one. The second one, so that's the first part of the one faith, one baptism. The second piece is that when Christ died on the cross, he died on the cross, and he took your sin and my sin. He took our unrighteousness. He put it on him. He paid for it. And he rose from the dead and said, I want to give you my righteousness. The second thing that makes us one is all of the righteousness we have has been given to us by Christ. It's been given to us by the same person. So I know you. I know your heart. I know who you are. If you've come to accept Christ as your Savior, I know you love what Jesus loves. You want what God wants. It is who you are. It's what makes us one. I just want to celebrate this next piece of our vision, which is a place where we find the hope, love, strength, and courage we're all looking for in a way that we can pass it on. See, when you know you have no righteousness of your own, you don't have to defend. You don't have to protect. You don't have to prove yourself. When you know that God has given you righteousness, he's forgiven you by grace through faith. What do you mean? Remember the love and the grace part? God has forgiven me. God died for me. Not because I earned it. Not because of what I've done. He did it for free. He did it by grace, out of the goodness of his heart. When I know that's true, loving other people, it just flows out of us. It's awesome. I want to celebrate a couple things. One, this happened in the last, I guess it's been almost 2 years now. And that's when I stood up here and I said, Olivia has cancer. She has brain cancer. It was a Sunday morning. And that Sunday morning I said, listen, I'm going to Philadelphia tonight. And if anybody wants to come, meet me there at the hospital. Now, this is what I love about Skyline. We work hard to plan things and love people on purpose. We do. That's not what I love. What I love about Skyline is the way we love people, not because it's part of our program, not because we've assigned this to you and assigned this to you. Now, that's what you're responsible for, and you get that done, and you get that done, and now we've loved people. I love that we are spontaneous in the way that we love people. That picture represents 50 people showed up that night. They drove 3 hours. No one called anybody to go, are you going? Are you going? Are you going? Nope. Well, they might have rode together. We just showed up. Now, Pete and Joanna both told me, listen, it's a long way. You don't need to come. You probably won't be able to see us because there's COVID. You can't come in the hospital. We don't care if we get to see you. You need to know that we love you. We're not driving down there so we can be seen as the great lovers. We're driving down there because you're hurting. And we want you to know. And throughout the next year, the ways that you did that in their lives, the people who drove down there and never saw them, they just drove down there, prayed, text them, want you to know we're here. The people who took care of their yard and took care of their food and took care of their lives. Why? Because we had a great plan? No. Because you knew you had no righteousness of your own other than that which Jesus had given you. Incredible. Just recently, I just want to mention this one because I never got a chance to follow up on it. But Rob and Addie, who have this amazing ministry to people who've lost their child, they had even bought a house where people could do retreats. And then the people in the community is like, yeah, we don't want that going on in our community. I'm sorry, I'm mocking them. I shouldn't mock them. That's not right. Don't know how to get out of this one. Devastating for them. You guys came up with this great idea. Let's just send them somewhere. Let's just love on them. So we just took up this offering. And you raised $2,000 and we sent them away to a spa and they did it. And the best thing I heard back from them was this. They said, listen, I don't think we would have ever done this on our own. That's loving people, guys. That's loving people. You're meeting a need in a way they didn't even know they had. Awesome. I just celebrate that. But what's next for us? Here's our problem. We have a group of people who are one, but they don't know it. You are not part of a group of people on the outside looking in. There are not a group of people here at Skyline who think, yeah, we're Skyline, you're the visitor. It doesn't exist. We don't have a group of people who you were away for a while and you've come back and you feel like it's not right. It doesn't feel like it's the same. Guess what? It doesn't feel the same to any of us. So what's next for us? Over the next year, are going to become one family. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to give ourselves to. We're going to give ourselves that a year from now, when we have Spirit Day and you walk in here, it's not, you're not going to walk into the church you go to. You're not going to walk into the church you visit. You are going to walk into my church. These are my people. This is who I'm one with. How are we going to do that? Engage Christ. What do you mean? We are going to together remind each other and experience together. We have no righteousness of our own. But Christ has given us his righteousness. That's what makes us one. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how you engage Christ's family, how you love each other and be loved, how you build your lives on grace. There is a second piece to this puzzle, and the second piece to this puzzle is lower in the passage where he says this. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. The equipping of the saints is to be done by the leaders. The saints are you. You're the saints. You're the ones to be equipped for the work of service to building up of the body of Christ. What happens when the body of Christ is equipped? What this means is that when you're equipped, not when I'm equipped, not when the people who are considered the top leaders in our church are equipped, but when you are equipped, when you are given the tools and the skills to minister to other people, what happens? In the next passage, he talks about you become complete in Christ. You know what that looks like? It means men become manly, godly men. It means men become godly husbands. It means men become godly fathers. That's as good as it can get, guys. You know what happens when you become equipped? You serve other people in such a way that women become godly women. And then they become godly wives. And they become godly mothers. That's what happens. That's the dream. This summer we had something pretty special happen. And we were going to have VBS. And God equipped and worked in a pretty special way. And I've asked Andy to come and share what that was like for her. Andy, give her a big welcome so she comes out. I knew you were back there somewhere.
I was there.
Here we go.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good morning, Skyline, and happy Spirit Day. You all look great in orange. And orange is not my favorite color, but you're all pulling it off beautifully. So I had the privilege of serving this summer at Vacation Bible School with 75 of the coolest kids in the world. Truly. Yeah. And 40 leaders. We had 40 leaders come serve, 20 of which were our Skyline teenagers. And they just did a phenomenal job. So the passage that comes to mind when thinking about Vacation Bible School is 1 Corinthians 12, when it discusses the body and that the body is made up of many parts. And that each part has equal concern and importance. And that's exactly what I got to witness during the week of camp. I got to see so many members with such specific talents and God-given abilities, and all of them just working together and creating and accomplishing something awesome, like an only God-specific way. So I'm just gonna list some things that I got to see. I saw a friend set up decorations for 12 hours, knowing she was going into surgery the very next morning. I saw a friend who just started her own business, but decided she was going to serve the whole week and canceled all of her clients just to make sure she was able to be there. I saw a friend who was taking care of her elderly mother, but yet still made it a priority to be there every morning, serving with her whole heart, knowing she was going home to a very full plate. I saw three teens who loved their first grade class so much that they came home and made matching Vacation Bible School bracelets for all of them. I saw another teen who loved her kids so much that she would bring face paint in every morning and paint all of their faces, all 75, to fit the theme of the day. I saw a friend who was so talented at running games that he took a group of 40 kids and made it look like the most organized masterpiece. Very organized fun. I saw an 18-year-old boy, now man, come and serve on his 18th birthday. I mean, who does that? I saw a friend who would look over all my curriculum and let me know where I made my errors, because there was quite a few, and she would gracefully help me fix them. I saw a friend who didn't originally sign up to serve, but then the morning of, she showed up and said, "Put me to work," and she created a whole ministry that actually made the week run so much more smooth. I saw a group of 20 teens who were given the task of taking the kids out of their parents' cars every morning, and they were the first impression for the kids and the parents, and they handled it with such amazing care and love and grace. I saw a room of 75 children, this makes me cry, sitting there in the chairs with Bibles open on their lap, reading the word every day. I saw a friend who took a group of 20 very energetic, very excited kindergartners and served them in a way that only she could. I saw a friend who would memorize the very long Bible verses, turn them into songs, and then would teach her group how to recite them in a more fun and exciting way. I saw friends who served in the snack room who weren't just serving snack, but they were encouraging the kids to learn their verse and would give them so many points, way too many points, for doing so, to encourage them to keep on trying. I saw three teen worship leaders and a friend who led worship daily with such excitement and such joy that it literally made our hearts leap for joy. I saw friends who were organized, encouraging, creative, diligent, who weren't afraid of making messes. There were a lot of messes. Who were exciting and disciplined, and some loved to dance and some loved to be behind the scenes. We learned that week that God created the whole world out of nothing. And as long as we are nothing, he can make something out of us. And boy, did he. When we humbled ourselves low to be the servants of many, how much larger our lives became. And I'm reminded that God needs our knees more than our hands. And the amazing truth is that while we serve Christ, it's actually he who serves us. Thank you, Skyline, for letting me share and enjoy Spirit Day today.
Thanks, Andy. So, what's next for us? First, we become one family. The second thing is we become one equipped family. That all of us become equipped. That you move from your interaction with the Skyline family, it goes from convenient to consistent. That you move from a consumer. What does that mean? You move from, hey, I go to church to get what I can get out of it, which that's where you should start. That's great. If you're here for that reason, fantastic. But this year, to move from consumer to a member, this is my church. To move from a member to a minister. To move from a ministry to reproducing or multiplying yourself and other people. Why? To create an army of people that loves this community, that takes the goodness of Jesus to this community and loves this community. I want you to know this. You belong here. You don't belong here because I said so. You belong here because Jesus wants you to be one. And he wants to preserve, he wants us to preserve the unity of us. Heart to heart, that you have a family, a place that is safe, a place that is yours, a place that will challenge you and stretch you, and that you can be equipped to be able to do that in other people's lives. What's next? One family, one equipped family. Let's pray. Lord, you're beautiful, and this is beautiful. I want to rejoice, and I want to thank you for the opportunity you've put in front of us. I want to thank you that what we're going to do next has nothing to do with what's going on outside in the world. It has nothing to do with people we don't know. It has everything to do with us. The opportunity for us to experience the oneness that you've already given us. For us to live out the peace and that bond of peace, what we already want in our lives. Lord, I ask you to do a couple things this morning. One, help us to believe what is true even though we don't feel it, which is this. We belong. We belong to each other. We belong to you. This is our home. These are our people. This is our family. Thank you for loving us so dearly. I look forward to the coming year. In your name we pray. Amen.